Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the program if you so choose. Still to come, Patrick McWilliams of the Baldwin County Republican Party. That's it. Next hour or so. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But join us now, one of my favorite people. He's congressman in the 4th Congressional District here in Alabama, but a longtime conservative, a great person, Congressman Robert Adderholt, joins us on the line. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. Good to be with you, and it's always good to be on your show, and thanks for the invitation.
Thanks for coming on. I really do mean that. I really do appreciate you coming on and talking to our audience down here in South Alabama. It looks like the speaker drama is nearing a conclusion, but I guess if you know, a lot of you and your colleagues are probably breathing a sigh of relief now that this is kind of coming to an end.
Well, of course, we had the vote on Wednesday afternoon to decide that Steve Scalise would be the Speaker designee, as it is called, and we decided as a majority of the conference to move his name forward, and that is what we're in the process of doing. So looks like he will be the speaker, and after it's been a long, drawn-out process, of course, this started back in January, as you know, with Kevin McCarthy having 15 rounds, making history, and then it all came to a head just about a week ago when he was removed from the chair as speaker, which was also history. So Kevin McCarthy has definitely made history in this process, and but I think most members are ready to move on and to give Steve Scalise a chance to be the Speaker of the House and to lead the Republicans. And, of course, obviously, during this time of what's going on in Israel, it's more important than ever that we do have stability here in our nation's capital and stability, in the House of Representatives and in Congress.
Well, and just read to my next question. I mean, here we are. We all know what happened Saturday there coming out of the Gaza Strip in Israel. But like, what's all this has put past us with this the speaker stuff? I mean, what do you see Congress doing as far as Israel or anything that needs to be done? I would suppose an act of Congress, if you would. What lies ahead?
Well, I think one thing that we can do is come together and speak in solidarity that we're behind Israel. I think most Americans are. I mean, obviously, you've got a few people, and I think there are very few that don't support Israel. But by and large, I think most Americans are behind Israel and know that it has been a good ally over so many years, especially in that part of the world. And so coming together in a unified voice with the House coming together, Democrats and Republicans saying we're standing with Israel, is important. But also, if we need to get some emergency aid there to Israel, then that's why it's important that the House could vote on something in an expeditious manner as opposed to waiting around and not knowing what's going to happen next and not having a speaker. So having the speaker in place is important to make sure that we send a signal to the rest of the world and send a message to Hamas and others that would not want to see Israel, do well, to make sure that we know that we as the U.S., United States of America, are strong behind our support of Israel.
Well, let's talk about this. And you know this, you've been around a long time in the halls of Congress, but like, you understand the importance of Israel, and you know, sometimes both sides of the prism here get a little, I don't know, they fail to see the strategic importance, just the not even just that, but it goes beyond that, of Israel and being an ally to the United States, why it's so important for the United States to have some skin in the game when it comes to the security for Israel.
Well, obviously, as we know, that in that part of the world, there's very few democratically elected governments. And Israel is one of those that has a democracy and that believes that the people that live there has the right to vote and to select their leaders And that's just not the case in the other surrounding, in so many of the surrounding countries. And so, and in addition to that, that part of the world is really just like a tinderbox. It could explode at any time. And having some stability there is important. And if you didn't have Israel there, I think it would really lend itself to a lot of day-by-day instability in that region. And so that's why I think it's important that we support Israel. You know, the United States has long been an ally after the Holocaust, when Israel was made a nation and it came together. And I think most people understand that the way that the Jewish, so many Jews around the world were treated, and especially during the Holocaust. And so it's really hard for me to understand why people just want to see the Jewish people dead. I mean, that's just, I hate to say it that way, but there's so many people that just don't like anyone who's Jewish. And it's hard for me to understand that. And so I think it's more important that we as a country stand behind Israel and saying that we believe in your right to exist, and that we know that there's a lot of people in your neighborhood that would like to blow you off the face of the earth, and we don't think that's right. So that's where we're all standing together with Israel, and I'm hoping that this week we can maybe try to get some legislation or at least some resolutions out saying that we're behind Israel 100%.
Joined by Congressman Robert Atterholt, the 4th Congressional District here on the program. Congressman, let's talk about this a little bit more here. And, you know, just how, and then I'll ask you like this. President Biden seems to be kind of doing the right thing here and has spoken out very strongly. I mean, you know, all the problems with Biden and his presidency, and they're very numerous, but this one, maybe he's going to get this one right for once.
Well, I hope so. So, I mean, obviously, I think it would be a tragedy for him not to get this one right, because most of the American people, as I say, I think are behind Israel and support Israel. And that's always been the policy of the United States. So for him not to stand strong with Israel and to echo those sentiments from the White House, I think would be completely out of sync with what the American people are thinking. So, you know, I'm encouraged that he will stand behind Israel, as he has indicated. But also, it's important that Congress stand behind Israel as well. And that's what we need right now, for the House and the Senate to come together and saying whatever Israel needs, we want to be there to be supportive.
And just as far as what's appropriate from the United States, I mean, do you have that in mind? How far do we go? I mean, you know, anything from just letting them figure it out for themselves to bombing Iran and its oil infrastructure for supporting Hamas. I mean, obviously, I guess somewhere in the middle is the happy medium. But where do you see that at?
Well, you got to remember that Hamas is a terrorist organization. And so we cannot let terrorist organizations have any foothold in any part of the world. I mean, that is not good for the stability of the United States. That's not good for the American public in general. And as you know, there are a lot of I just got out of a briefing a little bit earlier, and there is 20 missing Americans still. We don't know if they're dead. We don't know if they're alive. They're being held as hostages. But right now there's 20 Americans. So we have an interest in this. The Americans have been captured in this process. And I think it's important that we send a message that terrorist organizations like Hamas will not be tolerated. And if we let them get a foothold in the door, then this will send a bad message to other terrorist organizations that they might have a chance as well. So there's a lot riding on this.
Well, I guess it remains to be seen if they're going to get it right. But I feel like this is kind of ongoing, and there's probably some more to be learned from this. Congressman, real quick, just a few more minutes here. The new congressional map, slight changes for you. I think Etowah County goes into Congressman Rogers, and then you pick up the rest of the Shoals. But talk a little bit about the redistricting decision and how you see that. I mean, just even as a the picture as a whole for the whole entire state.
Yeah, well, obviously, it was sort of unexpected how this all thing developed back earlier this year when the courts agreed with the plaintiffs that had brought a lawsuit saying there should be two minority districts in the state. I think most of us felt like that in order, and I think most people agree that in order to have two minority districts, you have to really draw it upon race. And that has always been the a cardinal sin of when you how you draw congressional districts is that you use race as a factor. And so the court was saying that historically you shouldn't use race, but then now they're saying that you are to use race. So that was what was confusing in the beginning. And obviously, once the court made the ruling, you know, we the legislature had gone down to Montgomery back in the summer to try to remedy the situation. The courts did not feel like they did, as you well know. And then the court says that they would get the special master to draw it, and that's where we are. And so the special master sent those three maps to the court. The court chose one of them. And as of last week, we now have a map that we will all run in this next election, which the primary, of course, as you know, will be in March.
Well, as far as your district goes, I mean, like I said, slight changes, but you're losing some constituents, gaining some constituents. Does that change anything for you?
Well, you mentioned about I picked up a lot more of the Shoals that I had not had before, but in this last 2 years ago when they did the redistricting, I had picked up Florence and about half of Lauderdale County. So I had already represented most of the Shoals. I just got a little bit more of the Shoals, so to speak. Also, the other big change, a little bit more of Tuscaloosa County, and then I picked up Blount County. Blount County is a county that I represented for quite some time before this last redistricting. And a matter of fact, it was the second best that I'd received a vote outside of my home county of Winston. So, you know, I welcome the folks in Blount County. They've been a great friend during the time that I've been here in Congress. So I hated to lose them a few years ago, but welcome them back into the 4th district now.
And then you got to get a new congressman in that 2nd district. I mean, you kind of lead the way here with the seniority, and you're the dean of the delegation. I feel like you guys interact as almost as well as you ever have coming out of the Space Command kerfuffle. But do you look at that and you think, well, this is we're gonna have to like kind of coach somebody up here. It's gonna be a little bit different, or is that something you cross that bridge when you get there?
We'll cross that bridge when we get there, you know, and I don't know, of course, obviously it's Congressman Barry Moore's district that has been significantly changed the most. And as you know, and most of your listeners know, he is now actually where he lives is in Coffee County, and it's now in the 1st district. But about 60%, I would say, and that's just a rough estimate of the district that he currently represents, would be in this new 2nd district. So he may decide to run in that district. He may decide to run in the 1st district. He may elect to run for some other office. I don't know. I've not talked to him about it. His definite plans, and I saw him last week, and, you know, he's just – you know, was waiting to see what the results were. And, you know, I'm sure he will prayerfully consider with he and his family, how to move forward on this. And, you know, we, like I said, we'll just wait and see what the delegation looks like after, this next election. Of course, obviously all of us are up for reelection, and, none of us are guaranteed to be elected. And I'm running again for reelection at the 4th district. And of course, ask for everybody's support, and knowing that, I'm elected at the will of the people, but, certainly would appreciate their support as we go into this next election cycle.
I really will end it on this. The way you guys have been working together, and I basically what I saw during the Space Command dust up, but you guys,
sure,
the entire delegation seems to be getting along about as well as it ever has, you know, probably the last 20, 25 years.
No, I will say we have historically always gotten together, gotten along very well together, but we certainly are now as much as ever. We have a very good delegation working together, House and Senate, and of course, Senator Tuberville is relatively new, even though he was elected a couple of years ago. Katie Britt has set the ground running and joins in with our delegation lunches that we have once a month. So, yes, we work very well together, and I really don't see that changing regardless of the makeup, because we're a small enough state where we know that we can't be fighting among ourselves. There's a lot of states that are a lot larger than Alabama, and so we know that our strength is coming together, and pulling together is what happens in down in the first district has a major impact on the rest of the state. And so those of us in North Alabama, you know, we want to support what goes on in South Alabama as well.
Congressman, you've been very good with your time, and best of luck to you over the next few days. So let's talk again soon.
Thanks. Good to be with you, Jeff, and look forward to being with you in the future.
Thank Bye-bye. You, Congressman. That was Congressman Robert Adderholt. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
That mistake you thought he made covers up the refrigerator, oh yeah. He loves that little girl. Mama's waiting to tuck her in as she fumbles up those stairs. She smiles back at him.